Nikatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Warm welcome to you, our listener, for another deep dive into profound ideas. I'm particularly eager to unravel today's topic with you. It feels incredibly resonant with our modern world.
And for very good reason. Yeah, today we're plunging into a truly fascinating and maybe sometimes challenging collection of essays, Walter Benjamin's Illuminations. It's a work that honestly feels more relevant with each passing year.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. This book, written decades ago, it seems to hold an uncannily accurate mirror up to our own times. Why do you think Walter Benjamin's work, and Illuminations in particular, continues to speak to us so powerfully today?
Well, what's truly remarkable is how Benjamin, way back in the early 20th century, was already diagnosing the profound shifts brought about by new technologies, you know, the rise of mass society, the accelerating pace of urban life. His observations on these changes, they surprisingly echo our experiences in the digital age. Think information overload, the erosion of authenticity, and our ever-changing perceptions of reality. He offers us not just theories, but actually provides tools for understanding a world where, well, many old certainties have simply vanished.
Right. Before we dive deeper into the essays themselves, who is Walter Benjamin? The sources describe him as one of the most singular and influential intellectual figures of the 20th century. That's quite a powerful claim.
Yeah, it is. Benjamin was a German-Jewish philosopher, cultural critic, and essayist, active from 1892 until his tragic death in 1940. He was loosely associated with the Frankfurt School, a group of influential thinkers, and his work is famously eclectic, I mean, blending German idealism, historical materialism, which is a Marxist approach to history, and even Jewish mysticism. It's quite an extraordinary and unique intellectual brew, combining spiritual and materialist perspectives.
That blend of influences certainly sounds unique. What made him, in particular, so uniquely positioned to tackle these massive sort of sprawling ideas about modernity and culture?
Well, his entire life and intellectual project were intrinsically shaped by the very crises he sought to dissect. As a Jewish intellectual and refugee forced to flee the Nazis, he experienced firsthand the collapse of traditional European civilization. And he witnessed the terrifying rise of totalitarian mass media manipulation. His interdisciplinary approach, allowing him to write on everything from, say, 19th century French poetry to the nature of photography, enabled him to connect dots others simply missed. And his tragic suicide in 1940, while literally fleeing the Nazis at the Spanish border, it just underscores the immense urgency of his final work. It makes his critique not just academic, but profoundly existential.
So, for listeners who might be new to his work, what exactly is Illuminations? It's described as a collection of essays, not a single book Benjamin himself wrote as, you know, a cohesive whole.
That's a crucial distinction.
Exactly.
It's a posthumous collection of his most significant essays, thoughtfully selected and edited by his close friend, the philosopher Hannah Arendt. The core purpose isn't to present a single linear thesis, but rather to offer a multifaceted critical diagnosis of modernity. It asks us fundamental questions like, what becomes of humanity, culture, and meaning in an age defined by mechanical reproduction, mass society, and urban alienation?
It sounds like a journey through some really intense fundamental questions about what it means to be human in the modern world. What kind of journey does it take us on?
It truly is a kaleidoscopic journey. It explores how technological, social, and political upheavals radically transformed human experience, perception, art, and even our collective memory. Benjamin argues that many of our traditional modes of understanding, things like authentic storytelling, shared rituals, and the unique presence of original art, were profoundly shattered. But within this wreckage, he looks for illuminations, these flashes of insight, new forms of consciousness emerging from the fragments. It's about developing a new language, really, a new way to read the signs of our time, not just in grand narratives, but in its ruins, its art, its literature, and our transformed sensory experience.
Let's get into some of those illuminations then, maybe starting with the storyteller. This essay feels particularly relevant to our contemporary attention spans and how we consume information. What's the main idea here?
Right, the storyteller. This essay eloquently argues that the art of genuine storytelling is in profound decline, being steadily replaced by the rise of the novel and, more importantly, by information. Storytelling, rooted in ancient oral traditions, imparts wisdom through shared communicable experience, what Benjamin called Erfahrung. This is knowledge absorbed over time, right now through listening and reflecting. Information, by stark contrast, is sensational, verifiable, and quickly obsolete. It explains facts, but imparts no deep wisdom, no real moral lesson for life.
That idea about losing a profound way of transmitting meaning is really striking. Does Benjamin offer any sense of whether that's like a permanent loss or if there are ways to recover those deeper forms? And how does he see this playing out in the bustling urban spaces he was observing?
He certainly saw it as a significant loss, almost a kind of spiritual impoverishment. He believed the conditions for true storytelling, settled communities, shared experience, time for reflection were being eroded by modern life. This then leads us directly to On Some Motifs in Baudelaire, where he meticulously analyzes Charles Baudelaire's poetry. He found in Baudelaire's work the very essence of a new, disorienting reality in the modern metropolis, 19th century Paris. He famously introduces the concept of the flâneur, the idle, observant stroller who wanders through city crowds, detached yet immersed, reading the city's surfaces like a text, absorbing its shocks.
That constant sensory bombardment of urban life, it feels eerily similar to our digital world, doesn't it?
It does.
But does Benjamin's analysis suggest any key differences between those physical shocks and the digital overload we experience today?
That's a perceptive distinction. Well, while both create a shock experience preventing deep contemplative thought, Benjamin's flâneur still experiences the city physically, with all five senses. The digital overload we face today is often disembodied, you know, mediated through screens. This raises an important question. How do we cultivate deep thought amidst constant alerts and notifications when our minds are always pulled in multiple directions?
That's that question for the ages, or at least for the digital age.
Yeah.
This brings us to perhaps his most famous essay, The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction. Zooming out a bit, Benjamin argues that new technologies like photography and film fundamentally changed art by destroying its aura.
Yes, the aura. This is a central concept. The aura of a work of art is its unique presence in time and space, its history, its authenticity. That special quality of an original masterpiece, like standing before the Mona Lisa or maybe a sacred relic. Mechanical reproduction, Benjamin argued, detaches the art objects from its original context. When you can print a million copies of a painting or watch a film repeatedly, that singular ritualistic presence is destroyed.
Okay.
Think about seeing a painting on Instagram versus standing in front of it in a museum. What's lost when a live concert is experienced entirely through a phone screen by someone in the back row? It pushes us to question how the medium fundamentally shapes our perception of art.
So while there's a loss of this aura, did Benjamin see any positive side to this shift? Or was it all just decline?
He saw both loss and opportunity, which is interesting. While there was a decay of this unique presence, Benjamin also saw this as a liberating force, freeing art from its ritualistic cult value and opening it up to new exhibition value. Art could now reach mass audiences, becoming accessible to everyone, not just an elite. This, he argued, created revolutionary political possibilities, contrasting sharply with fascism's aestheticization of politics, where political power transforms into a spectacle, aiming to manipulate mass emotion and replace genuine political action with captivating but hollow rituals like grand parades or propaganda films.
So the shift from ritualistic, almost sacred art to art as a tool for political awakening, or conversely, manipulation, that truly shifts our understanding of art's purpose. And finally, his theses on the philosophy of history sounds incredibly profound, especially written right before his death.
Indeed. It really is. This is Benjamin's searing critique of historicism. The belief in history is a linear, inevitable march of progress. He argues for a radically new conception of history, one aligned with the oppressed. He famously describes the angel of history, based on Paul Klee's painting, seeing history not as a smooth chain of events, but one single catastrophe which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage. The angel is blown backward into the future by the storm of what we call progress, unable to mend the past, only able to witness its destruction.
That's a haunting image.
Yeah.
It forces us to fundamentally reconsider how we view the past and the narratives of progress we've been told. With all these insights from Benjamin's illuminations, what are the big takeaways, the core messages you want our listener to remember, the things that tie all these threads together?
Well, beyond the individual essays, Benjamin reveals this profound underlying tension that defines modernity. A world that promises progress simultaneously erodes authenticity, fragments our shared understanding of history, and transforms culture into a battleground. These aren't isolated concerns, you see, but rather interwoven threads in his critique of how we experience and make meaning in the modern world. His core message is an urgent call for critical awareness in the face of these forces.
That's a much more integrated view.
Right.
It highlights how these ideas aren't just about art or storytelling, but about how we collectively perceive and understand our reality.
Exactly. The first key takeaway, then, is the necessity of critical media literacy. In a world increasingly saturated with AI-generated content, deepfakes, carefully curated online personas, Benjamin's concept of the aura helps us question what is truly authentic versus what is reproduced or manipulated. What kind of truth are we receiving, and what might be the political or social agenda behind his presentation? I have to ask that.
And I imagine his Angel of History offers a stark challenge to our conventional thinking.
It certainly does. The second takeaway is to reconsider narratives of progress. Benjamin fiercely rejects the comforting idea of history as a steady upward march. For him, progress often leaves a trail of forgotten suffering and injustice. This encourages us to brush history against the grain, seeking out marginalized stories, and being deeply skeptical of claims that technology alone will solve all our problems without addressing underlying human issues.
That's a powerful and much-needed perspective in our often overly optimistic age, I think.
Indeed. And finally, the third takeaway is to acknowledge the profound political stakes of art and culture. Benjamin shows us that art is never neutral. It's always a battleground of ideology. Whether it's the subtle influence of an advertising campaign or the grand spectacles of political rallies, the way culture is produced, consumed, and reproduced has profound implications for how we think, feel, and act as a society. It can lead to liberation or manipulation.
Benjamin's work is filled with such evocative language and profound observations. Are there any particular quotes that really stick with you that capture the essence of his thought?
Absolutely. One that encapsulates his searing critique of progress is, "Where we perceive a chain of events, he, the angel of history, sees one single catastrophe which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage. This storm is what we call progress." That truly resonates with the depth of his skepticism.
That's haunting. Yeah. It paints such a vivid picture of history as this relentless force. What else comes to mind?
Another from the work of art is, "That which withers in the age of mechanical reproduction is the aura of the work of art." This succinctly captures his central argument about technology's impact on authenticity, and a powerful political statement from the thesis. There is no document of civilization which is not at the same time a document of barbarism. This challenges us to critically examine the foundations of our celebrated achievements, reminding us of the hidden costs and overlooked suffering behind every grand narrative.
So what does this all mean for us, our daily lives, and the way we interact with the world today? How can we apply Benjamin's insights, maybe beyond just understanding them conceptually?
Well, we can become more conscious consumers of media and experience. Think about how much of our lives is mediated through screens. Benjamin's ideas urge us to pause and ask, "Am I truly experiencing something? Or consuming a reproduction? Am I engaging with a story that imparts wisdom, or just information designed for quick consumption?" For example, instead of passively scrolling through photos of a protest, maybe seek out the deeper narratives, the voices of the individuals involved, which might offer more profound understanding.
Right. And I imagine it also affects how we engage with news and historical accounts.
Absolutely. It encourages us to adopt a more critical, nuanced perspective on news and history. Don't simply accept narratives of inevitable progress or simplistic solutions. When you read the news, look beyond the sensational information to ask deeper questions about underlying structures, power dynamics, forgotten perspectives. Ask whose story is being told and whose is being left out.
And lastly, for personal connection, I think the storyteller offers a beautiful, almost urgent call to action.
It truly does. It reminds us to actively cultivate deeper forms of communication and connection. This means consciously making space in our lives for genuine storytelling sharing experiences that convey wisdom, vulnerability, personal insight, rather than just quick updates or data dumps. Take the time to listen, to share, to build that shared experience that modern life threatens to erase. It's about consciously resisting the fragmentation that Benjamin observed.
For me, what really surprised and resonated was how much Benjamin anticipated about our current digital existence. The information overload, the erosion of unique experiences, the way art becomes a political tool. It makes you want to step back and observe your own interactions with media, with the city, with even a simple story through a completely new lens.
Yeah, definitely. If we take a broader view, Benjamin's most valuable lesson is probably that modernity is a double-edged sword. Technology and culture aren't neutral. They hold both liberating and oppressive possibilities, often simultaneously. You, the listener, should walk away with perhaps a profound skepticism towards narratives of inevitable progress, a heightened awareness of how technology shapes your perceptions, and maybe a new appreciation for the fragments and forgotten stories that still hold redemptive potential. The lasting insight is that meaning isn't found intact. Rather, it must be actively constructed from the ruins and rich complexities of the past and present, requiring critical thought and, crucially, action.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.